Friends of Chamber Music of Troy, New York, announced their new concert season with the Escher String Quartet on September 12th. Talking with us today is Jennifer Lawson of the Friends of the Chamber Music. We're talking today about the popular performance in context. It's a series of discussions over Zoom with musicians from the current concert season. Through the Friends of Chamber Music, you'll have a performance in context, September the 9th. It's going to be done by Zoom.
We have the musicians as panelists.
That's the Escher String Quartet.
We started the performance in context series last year because since things were virtual, we thought it would allow our audience to connect with the musicians in a way that they wouldn't be able to connect just by viewing an online concert. But it had been something I wanted to do for a long time. I think that for people to enjoy being part of an audience, sometimes for them to understand something about the musicians' lives, the equipment they're playing is important. And I also think it's important for all of us to think about the significance of the artist in the community. So I wanted to explore those ideas.
The Escher String Quartet, they're amazing. The power and the emotion behind the pieces, it was just riveting to me. Performance in context. Is this something you personally developed?
Started it last year. Well, I had this idea. The first year I was here, I added pre-concert talks, like live talks before the, and I was really careful to choose groups that incorporated talking into their presentation. So for instance, the St. Lawrence String Quartet, they do any number of possible talks, but they have a program about Haydn and they demonstrate, you know, this is what Haydn's doing here and this is why this is interesting. And the audience really appreciates that. And they're learning also. And then they play the concert and everyone gets what they were talking about in context, right? And I thought that that was pretty successful because people would remarked about it, would approach me and tell me how much they enjoyed it. Their favorite musicians on the programs that we did that whole year were those that were very engaging in that part of it. But I really had in the back of my mind that I wanted to expand these in one way or another. So last year when we went virtual and I was thinking, well, if we only have six programs and they're all virtual, and we want to get our audience to connect with each other like they would in a normal year, this might be something we can do virtually. So I kind of looked at other models. There's something called Group Muse that evolved in Manhattan and Boston, and it's all over the United States in big cities, and where musicians perform in apartments or in lofts or in and there's a website you go to, and if you have a venue you can offer your venue, and if you're a musician you can select a venue. So chamber music is played all over the city, in New York City, all over Seattle and Portland and Baltimore, and we don't have it in Albany, but we ought to have it in Albany. And people are sitting in their living rooms. They're like 2 feet from the musicians. You buy your tickets online. You know, the tickets could be $10 or they might be $50. It's sort of decided by the musicians. And the Escher play these group muses. When they went virtual, I was very curious. So I contacted the person who started Group Muse to see what they were doing. And I visited the group muses that they were doing virtually. And they had a period, people would enter early by Zoom and they would meet each other. So they would like put everybody in a separate room with three or four other group musers, people who were there in the audience. And so I was in a room with somebody from San Francisco and Toronto and Seattle. And how did you come to Group Muse? And we talked and we kind of connected. And then from there, they hosted their concerts on YouTube Premiere. So then you go to the YouTube Premiere. And then afterwards, you have a Zoom. And they had the artists on the Zoom. And you could talk with the artists. The artists are now sitting in their living room telling, you know. And they were trying to capture this. So I thought, huh. And And, you know, the technology didn't work that well. They got better toward the end. People had trouble navigating from one place to another and back. But I watched and participated in several of those just to see how they worked. And I thought, we can do this. We can do something like this. So that was how it started. I picked the Grip Muse people's brains, and that's how we did it.
It's so such a good idea.
So that was the other thing. You know, chamber music is up close and personal. It's not like going to watch the Rolling Stones and who, you know.
Yeah, you're one of the multitudes.
You're one of 3 million. You know, you do have a chance to feel like you know them and talk with them. I've met the Escher many times, you know. We have lots of other groups coming that will be great. Well, if you pull up our website, you'll see the full listings under season. In October, we're going to be showing a documentary and about the Dover Quartet, which will be the next quartet on the series. So we don't have information about the film up yet because we're hoping to do it at the Linda. A public showing at the Linda. And that's in October.
Okay, yeah. That's great. Now we know what to look for in the future.
Yeah. Then in November, we have the Dover Quartet. And we'll also have, on Performance in Context, we'll have an interview with 6 really adventurous composers. They have a group that is a laptop ensemble. Ensemble Dakota. They've individually been pretty, they're young composers. They've just finished their doctorate degrees. But they're led by an Iranian female composer whose works are really being recorded a lot now by ensembles, especially chamber music ensembles. So it would be fun to talk with these rising star composers who have this laptop ensemble.
So they've been actually in quarantine while they've been putting things together. I mean, have they done it all via laptop?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they were in quarantine. They were not in person for a long time, I think. Well, you'll see, if you go on the website, you'll see a picture of them all performing together with the laptops. So when they're in the dark and the laptop light is on their faces. The laptop is a hub for interacting with instruments that are either invented or they might be, like in one case, they are orange boxes, you know, the boxes that oranges come in, that is somehow wired and can be played through the laptop. There's one where they use these stones and they can turn the stones and get different sound effects. Some of them have lighting and animation that is done along with it. And some of them, it is acoustical, normal acoustical instruments that are used, but the laptop is the hub for the whole thing. And it's fascinating.
Dakota? No.
D-C-O-D-A, like to decode.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Okay. Ooh. Okay, so we got lots more to do.
They're very cool, very cool.
And they're coming up here or not?
No, well, they will. They'll be up here also in November for a separate event, but I'm just going to interview them on Performance in Context. They will show clips of their work, which of course is easy to show since it is electronic and, you know, so I'll have them share clips of their work and talk about finding your own voice as a composer. I mean, what would make you go in this direction? You know, you have to be a highly independent and experimental person, because each of them plays a real instrument, like
classically trained.
Nilufar is a pianist and a composer, but it's the experimentation with this other, the pressing the boundaries like this, that is really fascinating to me. And that they were all on board to do it together. That's equally fascinating.